Thanks to Audible.com for supporting Book Hype. For a free 30-day trial, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and today I'm with Karen and Brittany. Hey, guys.
Hi.
All right. This is the big episode, the Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies episode. Karen gets to talk about her favorite thing, zombies. Brittany and I get to talk about our favorite thing, Jane Austen. And then we get to harass Karen for probably still not having actually read real Jane Austen. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. We haven't talked about it in a while. She may have caught up. But, you know, I'm not hopeful. But, as always, let's start off with what we've been reading. Brittany, have you been reading anything lately? How busy have you been?
Vacation's due on Friday.
And oh, boy.
So I've done no reading.
But you have applications due, so that's fair.
Yeah, maybe I'll read this weekend. Or maybe I'll just sleep. Who knows?
It could be your treat to yourself. You get to read something good. That seems fair. All right, Karen, you've got some fun things that you've been reading. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about them?
Yeah, these two were both great. I'm really excited to talk about them. I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks lately, so I guess that's appropriate. But the first one I listened to this past week or 2 weeks since the last episode was The Martian by Andy Weir, which was phenomenal. Such a good book. And the audiobook is so great. The narrator is really funny. And he does a lot of really great accents, which I always appreciate when they're like solid, real accents. And the inflections he uses that I assume aren't necessarily like in the text version, but you kind of have to infer that's how the character is kind of thinking or saying those things. He does a great job of just making it hilarious. Like, I mean, laugh out loud, funny. It was so good. And I actually read this book after I saw the movie, which apparently I've just been doing a lot lately, but is something kind of new for me. And I kept thinking back in my mind, okay, what's different about the movie and the book? And you know, the adaptation is really, really faithful. I would say they left like a couple of minor things out to streamline the story, which is fair because they only have like two and a half hours. And the ending was a little more exciting, but also in the movie they added like an epilogue, which I was disappointed was not in the book, because I really wanted to know what he did after he got back home, and so that was kind of sad, but it was really good anyway. And then the other one that I read was Calamity by Brandon Sanderson, which is the third and final book in the Reckoner series. First one was Steelheart, which I know I've talked about at length. And Calamity was pretty much everything I wanted it to be. It was really fantastic, and it answered a lot of questions. My only problem is that the ending kind of left it open for more. And this is the final book, so I'm like, okay, does that mean we're gonna get more, or is this just sort of like an open-ended ending? And so I don't yet know how I feel about that, because I would love more Reckoner's books, but I don't know if we're going to get them.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you... It's always nice when the last book lives up to what you want it to be, because mm-hmm. it's always so sad when it doesn't. It's always like a struggle when you get to that last book and it's not everything it could be.
Because it kind of ruins the whole series, right? Like, you look back on those first few books differently and it's like, ugh, I kind of wish I didn't waste my time now.
Yeah, it's sad when that happens. Nobody wants to have stuff ruined like that for them. So I'm glad it worked out, except for the open ending, even though, you know, who knows, that might work out too. We'll see. All right, so I've been reading a lot this last couple of weeks. So I read the Off-Campus series by Elle Kennedy. I think we've heard Kristen talk about it, and I think Brittany's talked about it. And it was three books, The Deal, The Mistake, and The Score. And it's about hockey players, because Kristen has us all addicted to hockey players right now. So please feel free to send all hate mail to her. I know several people have also picked up some other books that Kristen has recommended. I know she deals in addiction. It's okay. We're in this together. And then I also started, because I blew through that series rather quickly, I also started the Game On series, and I read the first book. I, like, literally stayed up all night to read this book because I just couldn't. I needed to know. And it's called The Hookup, and it's by Kristen Callahan. There are more books in that series, too. I do now own them all and will be probably spending the rest of my week reading them. It's totally fine. It's normal. So good. It's about the Game On series is about football players. And it's a little more, I don't know, I like this series a lot. I liked it better than the off-campus series. Don't get me wrong, I like the off-campus series. But I think the Game On series is a little bit more about character development, and it's not so quick to take place. I feel like some of the other stuff goes by really, really quickly. Like, the romance happens, and it happens within a fairly short period of time, whereas these books take longer periods of time, and you get more character development, I think, in a lot of ways. You get to know the characters differently. So I really am enjoying this series. And then I read a YA book, yay me, called Rebel of the Sands. It's by Elwyn Hamilton. And you guys, this book is fierce. So, so fierce. It's about, like, a desert land where this girl lives, and she's poor and she's got nothing, and she ends up going on kind of an adventure. Someone comes, and he's kind of a criminal in a way, and so she goes off with him to just kind of save herself from where she's at, and this like epic adventure takes place, and she's a really strong heroine. I liked her a lot. I think you guys, readers who like The Red Queen, but Legacy of Kings and Ember in the Ashes, those are the ones. It's kind of got that vibe to it. So it's really, really cool. I think it has a lot going on for it, and you guys should definitely check it out. It just came out. So, yeah, something to look forward to. So that's what I've been reading. Kind of cool. On a side note, you guys, can we talk about Alice in Wonderland for just a second? It is 150 years since the original was published by Lewis Carroll. And so Alice's Adventures in Wonderland has now been done by Audible Studios, and you know who they have narrating this lovely, lovely novel? Scarlett Johansson and her sister. How cool is that? So if you guys check this out, don't forget you can get a free 30-day trial from audible.com at audiblepodcast.com/bookhype, so you could download that lovely new book or anything else of your choice. So audiblepodcast.com/bookhype.
Did you all right, Karen, to the clip what, for that with Scarlett?
I did. It's so cool.
I was like, at first I was like, I don't know about this, because Scarlett Johansson's voice is like very distinct. Like, you know, it's her when it's talking.
It's specific. And she starts, exactly.
Yeah. And she starts doing the Duchess. And I was like, this sounds ridiculous. Like 3 seconds later, I was like, oh my God, she is so good at this.
Uh-huh.
It was, and the cover, the new cover that they have for that. Oh, I love it. It's so beautiful.
Exactly. Wasn't she's the voice of her, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Her voice is very soothing. Like, mm-hmm. I don't blame Joaquin Phoenix for falling in love with her.
With just, like, the Siri voice. I know that's just a little creepy, but it happens, you know?
And she's also going to be Ka in The Jungle Book, in case anybody didn't know that already, which I think is really cool.
But which Jungle Book? Aren't there two coming out?
It's the live-action one that we've been getting all of the...
Oh, it's that one. Okay, I was just checking. Because there is a different one. Because that is not the Andy Secrest one, right?
No, I don't think it? So. No.
It's not. So the Andy Secrest one has Benedict Cumberbatch in it as a voice.
Yes.
And okay, because there's two different ones, and it's so confusing. Like, we really need to see Jungle Box. Which one has Idris Elba?
This one, right?
This one does, I think. Okay. It's so confusing, I can't keep up. Why can't we just make one? Why do we need to make two people? Work with me here.
Money.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, that's right. There's something called money. I remember now. Good call, Karen. Good call. All right, just as a reminder, before we get on to this book conversation, our March book is The Shadow Queen by C.J. Redwine, and it comes out next week, I believe, or this week, next week. I don't know anymore. Comes out one of these weeks, really soon, and I think you guys are going to like it. For those who like a good twisted, mixed-up fairy tale, this has got your name all over it, so definitely check that out. And now, Karen, now we are going to talk about zombies. Are you ready?
I've been ready.
Karen's like, I was ready before we started, Jen. Come on. All right, so, Karen, we're going to start with you. Is this a buy or a borrow or a see the movie for you?
Oh,
because we can throw that in there. Oh, don't you like that one?
Yeah, another category. I would say buy and see the movie. Am I allowed to do that?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Yeah, I loved this, like, way more than I thought I did. And you know what? It wasn't just the zombie elements. I kind of liked all of it.
Somebody marked the date down.
I know. No, really, it actually, believe it or not, makes me much more excited to read Pride and Prejudice, which, yes, I have not done yet. It's a thing. I will
Well, I
get
mean,
to it.
technically, you kind of did. I
Right.
mean, technically.
Yeah, but I'm really interested in seeing what he changed in order to make it about zombies as well. And it wasn't just the zombie parts that I was like, yeah, this is really cool. Like, I really liked the characters a lot, like, a lot. And the thread throughout it of, the type of woman that Lizzie is. So that was really cool. And also, just to say, like, I love the movie so much. And I think the movie did a lot of things really well that they changed from the book. Brittany, I know you and I have talked about this just a little bit, but I'm really glad they went in certain directions because I think it
Awesome.
turned out much better for the movie.
Yeah. And I have those things noted that we will get to those changes in a smidge. All right, Miss Brittany, you own the book, so really, is it a buy or a borrow for you? I don't know.
Well, I bought it only because I had to for class.
Oh, the truth comes out.
Yeah, so I read this in a class called Geek Lit my sophomore year of college, and it's definitely I held on to it because I held on to everything from that class, but it's a borrow for me and a definite see the movie. The movie is very different in my opinion. I like what they did with the movie much better than how they did the book because as a huge Jane Austen fan and not a zombie fan, I had a problem with a lot of it where I'm like, oh, so you're just changing one word in the opening, most famous opening line of Jane Austen's with brains and zombie. That's really clever. This book is going to be horrible. It is not. It's not horrible, but it is eye roll inducing for me personally because of
Yeah.
because when you've read Pride and Prejudice so many times and then you read this, you're like, okay, I could have sat at my desk for an afternoon and crafted this up.
You should have, because you
I
would
know, but
be incredibly wealthy.
I didn't have the $1 million idea, so good on you, sir. But yeah, definitely I would check it out if you're a Jane Austen and zombie fan, and definitely see the movie without it. I love the movie more than I thought I would.
Yeah. I'm gonna agree with Brittany. I think it's a borrow, and I definitely see the movie. I did not go into the movie with like massive expectations, but I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. So definitely. And I agree with you, Brittany. It's kind of hard when you've read Jane Austen and then you're trying to read the pieces that are just kind of fit in around her dialogue and her text and stuff, where just little things are changed. It is a bit unusual. I think it's a little jarring too, as someone who's read her and seen the shows and like, someone who's very invested in like Pride and Prejudice and stuff. It's kind of unusual.
Yeah, and like when you take English courses that are like all Jane Austen, and then you're reading all of her work and then getting so immersed in her world, and then it's like, we're just gonna like make the earth a little wet, and then people are gonna float up to the top, and there you go, it's a new book. And I'm like, but it's not. She did all the legwork here.
Yeah, she did all the character development and like, that stuff.
Which I was happy to hear that Karen liked, and not just the zombies. So I'm
Yeah, I'm
excited about
super
that.
stoked that Karen liked the character development. I think that there's hope for her yet.
Oh.
I think we can persuade her, Brittany. I think we can get her on board. All right, Karen, so did it work for you? I mean, obviously you liked it, but how did you feel about the infusion, like the differences between, you have this really kind of historical novel, this classic novel with these weird zombie moments. How did that work for you?
You
Do you
know,
feel like it flowed like one story?
it really did. And I mean, I definitely see where you guys are coming when you're like, okay, Jane Austen did all the hard work. He just added in, some sentences and some paragraphs here and there. But at the same time, I think that he actually did a really good job of changing the tone of the story so that it was like, it made sense that there were zombies here and that the different ways they reacted to certain things all came back around to the zombies. I think that's really huge. And I definitely think it works, and I think that it's so interesting that it's an older kind of story where it's not modern day zombie stuff. Like, it's definitely older, and they're in their gowns, and they always complain about the way that she looks and that sort of thing in relation to the zombies in her gowns. And I don't know. It's very different for me. Like, I wouldn't say that I'm, proficient in zombie lore or anything, but like, I've read some books and I've seen some movies and TV shows, and this is the first thing that like put me personally into this era with zombies, and it's just strange how well it actually worked.
I will say he did have to get, when he added things in and adjusted things, he did have to understand the tone of Jane Austen. So he clearly has a lot of knowledge in that regard in order to make that work. Do you know what I mean? So definitely give him props for what he did, because it's not easy to mimic, to, I think, and to integrate things into Jane Austen, because she is so well known and people are going to scoff and know immediately if you don't get it just right. So, yeah, I don't know.
Were there any parts for you guys that were like, this doesn't fit? Because there was one moment where I like laughed out loud because it felt like such a modern joke, but then again, I don't know if Jane Austen like initially had any of those kinds of moments where it like sticks really well in modern times as well.
Oh my gosh, Northanger Abbey is like, it's so modern. It blows my mind. I was just looking into it. This is a completely different book, but I think it answers your question that she has this way of just like writing and everything like is still applicable like to today. Her sense of humor and like her observations on like it, just the way people behave, it's so good.
She's so sassy. Like, I
Yes, she
wasn't
is very
expecting
sassy.
that, but I really liked it.
Yeah, she's incredibly sassy, and I think a lot of her writing is timeless because you can take and apply the stories that she's told for these women into modern times, and you can make it work. Like Clueless is a perfect example. The movie Clueless is an adaptation, or a kind of a spin, like a spin on Emma. So it functions, and they can make it work in a lot of different ways because it's kind of like Shakespeare. You have these tropes and these storylines that are consistent and that you can just take and use somewhere else and make them more modern just by switching things up a little bit. So I mean, how many times has Romeo and Juliet been retold with a modern twist? I
Yeah, and it's
mean,
not
West
even,
Side Story and
it's
like
not
all that
even like
stuff.
adapting it to modern language. You can use Jane Austen's original language and it's
Yeah.
still very sassy. You would be like,
Exactly.
oh, if someone wrote that today. But yeah, I think that Seth Graham Smith, because we've just been saying he this whole time,
I know.
Seth Graham Smith like is really like you were saying, Karen. He and Jen, he's really good at picking up on what it the what he adds in is very seamless, I should say. That's how I'm gonna phrase
Yeah.
this. It's very seamless. So there is the line between what is Jane, what is Seth, but it's also like you can read them back to back and not tell the difference.
Exactly. So, Karen, what was this? Do you remember the scene that you thought was funny?
It was the one where they're at Darcy's place, and he shows up earlier than Lizzie expects,
Oh,
and
yeah.
she says something about like that he was shooting the gun and stuff, and she like hands him the bullets back and was like, I don't know, he was like, my balls are in your grasp or something like that, and I was like, oh my God.
Oh, that's unintentional, but that's pretty funny, actually. Not gonna lie. Anyway, moving on. So, Karen, you also listen to the audiobook. Is it a good listen? Who narrates that?
You just had to ask me that, didn't you?
Okay, was it a good narrator?
It was a woman. I will look it up because this is definitely a good thing. But she was fantastic. My favorite thing about it actually was that when it got more violent, her voice got louder and she got like really into it. Like she escalated as the action escalated, and it was just very engaging. I thought she did a fantastic job with the voices, and I don't know, just like the accent. I don't know if it's her real accent. I would hope it's her real accent, but it was just everything worked for me.
Excellent. Love it. Love it.
Her name All right. is Catherine Kellgren.
Okay. Excellent. I always love a good narrator. So when I find one, I like to like stick to, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I like to see what else they've done because sometimes a narrator can make the book. So very important.
Also, I'm really glad that that you brought up that moment when Darcy arrives a little early, because that's like my favorite moment in the original book and all of the adaptations that I've ever seen, especially, and I know this isn't my favorite adaptation, but the Keira Knightley adaptation when Darcy gets there early, oh, watch out, favorite moment of that movie.
Okay, look forward to.
Not my favorite moment of that movie. My favorite moment is the moment that when they have their fight. But that's my favorite.
Oh, that is such a good one.
It's so well done with the rain and everything. Oh,
yes, that's my favorite part, I think, is the rain. Like, the whole, like, tone of it is really good.
Oh, so good. I mean, Colin Firth brilliant, like, performs that scene so well in the other BBC one. But, oh, my God, the rain.
There's something about the rain adds a depth to it. Kind of, yeah. I'm All with right. you.
That's
I'm
enough. You we will not talk about other adaptations.
Oh, did we stray off again? Oh, darn it. All right, moving forward. All right, so let's talk about, did adding the zombies change the characterization too much? I guess, Brittany, you can answer this because you're the one in tune with this kind of business. So did you feel like it changed the characterization of any of the characters, or did it just kind of shift the plot line a little bit?
I feel like it shifted the plot line to where the characters were, especially the women, were all stronger, but still in line with how their characters are, like how each sister is and how.
Yes.
Like that was my biggest concern, was because I really wanted, like, you know, Lydia and, you know, just everyone to be like really strong fighters, but also not lose what is like
who they were. Yeah.
Like Lydia, they had this like line about her. Like it's sort of just like a throwaway line, but I just really remember this. It's where she's like, he was like, oh yeah, and Lydia could be seen like carving her initials with a dagger into like the stomachs of men. And I'm like, all right, that's totally in line with something that Lydia would do, but it's just more violent in this world. So yeah, you really get a good sense of the characters. My favorite characterization though, was of Mr. Collins, just because like they kill him off, right? In this.
Yes. He gets killed off,
which I thought was just brilliant. I'm like, yeah, they would die. Him and Charlotte, they would die.
Can we just, Mr. Collins, this Matt Smith's Mr. Collins in the film.
That was my favorite thing that they did not change in the film, was the fact that he was alive at the end, because I was like, thank God.
I know, because like, I don't, I miss this Mr. Collins, his Mr. Collins is probably the most ridiculous, creepy Mr. Collins ever. He's so good at it. So let's talk a little bit about, because, I mean, everyone's aware.
But we also have to talk about Lady Catherine, because.
Okay, go ahead.
They did not do her. They did not do her justice in the movie that they did in this book.
So and it's like, so sad because they had Lena Headey playing her.
Yeah,
it's
not she like was she was great when she was on
I know. Screen. They just didn't she give needed more screen time.
Yeah, any time to be on screen. But yeah, I love what they did with her and how they made her this, like, in Jane Austen's world, she's terrifying. But here she is like a person I would never even want to hear her name brought up, because she is like got like this like army of ninjas, and she's like, I laughed the first time I read it, because I'm like, this is ridiculous, but it's so fitting how terrifying this woman is and like what a force she is to be reckoned with, where like you're more alert to the fact that Lizzie's going to challenge her, and you're like, I don't know, like in Jane Austen's book you're like, okay, like Lizzie's strong-willed and strong-headed, like she can handle herself, but this like involves like some serious physical combat.
Yeah,
Lady Catherine, and I like was actually nervous, so I really, she was my favorite character to be changed. And then Mrs. Bennet is just brilliant all the time. No matter what adaptation she's in, Mrs. Bennet will always just make it laugh.
I just, yeah, Mrs. Bennet is like one of those busybody mothers that you just, it's too much. It's too much all the time because she just wants to have her daughters married and she wants what's best for them. Yet she's willing to pawn Lizzie off on Mr. Collins, which is just the most horrid thing you could do to a daughter. Horrid. And she's like, oh, but Lizzie is. And Lizzie's like, no. I think my favorite thing is the interaction between Mr. and Mrs. Bennet, too. I really enjoy them. Like, Mr. Bennet indulges his wife, even though he does draw a line when it comes to certain things. So I like that dynamic between them.
I have a question about Mr. Bennet, actually, having not read the original, because in the adaptation, I really liked him because he seemed to put a lot of, I don't know, like, he made sure that his daughters were strong and he stood up to his wife. He was a little cruel sometimes, and I don't know if that just comes in with, like, the whole zombie thing, but as a general rule, is Mr. Bennet liked by people who read Pride and Prejudice, or is he sort of one of those gray area characters? Because I wasn't sure if he was like this amazingly different kind of man for this time period, or if he was kind of in line with everybody else.
No, I mean, I always liked him. There's just, he like sticks up for Lizzie a lot, and he's also, but he also knows what the expectations are of his time. He knows that he's not worth a lot, and his daughters need to marry wealthy, and they need to be married off because he, you know, has to pay for them to be married, basically. So he understands like the situation, and he's also very outspoken when it comes to dealing with Mrs. Bennet, but ultimately he caves to her, not in a submissive way, but more of a like, I just literally cannot listen to you anymore. I'm going exactly. to like walk over and talk to this Bingley fellow. But yeah, he's generally liked. I don't know, Jen, do you like Mr. Bennet?
Yeah, no, I've never had a problem with Mr. Bennet. I think he always kind of, I think in some ways he is a little bit more forward thinking. Like Brittany said, like, yes, he understands his situation, but at the same time, he's not willing to forfeit his daughter's happiness completely. So I think that makes him very different for the time. I think most gentlemen would be like, oh, Digger, you want her? She's yours.
Yeah, especially because when he checks in about Darcy at the end, too.
Right.
He's always just like, but this was the guy you wanted buried in the ground
because
you hated
him. You wanted
him
to
so
strangle
much.
Him.
But now you're like, are you sure? Like, he asks her, is she sure? Not like, there's this man of great wealth coming to take my daughter's hand. Like, I'm not going to consult with my wife. I'm going to ask my daughter what she thinks.
So, right.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the whole Mr. Collins situation, too. So, I don't know. I liked it.
Collins.
I like him.
There's so many insufferable characters in this book that I just wanted to die. And I knew that they wouldn't, but...
Oh, that's funny. All right, so let's talk about the book and the film, the book and the film differences, because there were some. So for those of you who have only seen the film of Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies and have not actually read the book, a couple of things happen differently for the characters, which is important to note. So first we have Wickham. And in the film, Wickham is the baddie, right? But in the book, it's not exactly the same. The ending is most definitely not the same for Wickham. So what did you guys think about the differences between the two?
That was shocking. Like, reading the book after seeing the movie, assuming that it would be roughly the same, and it being completely different was very strange for me. But, and I'll let Brittany kind of elaborate on this more, because I know she liked this. Wickham in the movie, like, it was so satisfying what happened to him in the end, in the way that he kind of went out, and just even the way that they changed his role and, like, the zombies, some of them being able to communicate better than others. I think that was really, really smart for the film.
Yeah, so what they did in the film, that I really liked, well, besides changing his entire story, was that he, like, you got the same sense of Wickham as a character with what they changed for the movie. So you got this sense of, like, he's not a bad, like, the whole time you're like, he's not really, like, a bad guy. Like, he's doing this, like, great thing. Like, he's making vegetarian zombies. Look at him go. And then you're like, you're thinking about, like, oh, what could Darcy possibly, like, hate about him, like, all this stuff. And then you kind of rag on Darcy a little bit for being like, why aren't you giving this guy a shot? Like, all this, you know, you get the same sense of him in the movie as you do in the book. But in the book and the other, like, the Austen book, like, you just, like, Wickham's just awful at the end, but he kind of always gets what he deserves with, you know, marrying Lydia. ugh, God, I would not wish that on any man. But
not even Wickham?
I don't know. I think Wickham deserves it.
Yeah, he does. But what he didn't deserve in the movie was to be able to come back and lead a zombie army because that's just too much power for Wickham. That's the one thing I was a little disappointed about was when he comes charging back. I'm like, no, you don't deserve to. You're too much power now. And it's like, but, you know, who knows?
In the book it's different.
Yeah, but I definitely did really like what they did with his character in the movie, especially because it kind of dragged Lizzie along on his side further than it would in the book. Because in the book, once she kind of, like, finds out through Darcy about, like, what's going on with Wickham, she changes her tune. But in the movie, it goes on longer because she's like, no, I'm actually, like, seeing this in action, and I, like, have all this reference, and I kind of am starting to believe it in a different way and not just relying on a letter. I really liked what they did with the movie, just because it made the stakes a lot higher, because it's like, oh, well, if I could save all these people, why wouldn't I do that? And it kind of, like, you know, just, I really enjoyed it. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yes, I like it. I like it. So the other things that were different, we had, she's not Lady Charlotte. She's Charlotte, who is Elizabeth's friend. She actually, in the book, she is infected, right? She becomes one of the infected. And because Mr. Collins is so shamed by this, his wife become infected, he kills her and then he kills himself. So that's very different from what we know of what happens to Mr. Collins and
poor
Charlotte.
Poor Charlotte. She cannot catch a break.
She cannot, man.
I was so sad for her because, well, I first watched, obviously, the Lizzie Bennet Diaries is like my first introduction to Pride and Prejudice. Laugh all you want, but I really like it. And Charlotte in that is quite an independent character who, I think, at least from just, you know, this adaptation being so similar to the original, can infer that she's quite different. And so the fact that, like, I had that person in my head for Charlotte, and the fact that she ended up being stricken and then dying really upset me. And I'm glad that they didn't go that way in the movie, because that would have been super upsetting to actually see it in front of me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's bad enough she had to marry Mr. Collins, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. Did she have to become stricken as well? Or maybe that was a niceness. I don't know. Maybe that was the sacrifice that was good for her. True. I can't decide. All right. So what about Mr. Darcy? Did you guys feel he was different between the film and the book?
I did, yeah. Because in the film, they kind of start off the movie with him arriving to somewhere. I don't remember the name of the estate, but
Netherfield.
Well, he arrives there and he finds the person that's been bitten, and, like, he has, I guess in the film, he has a much more commanding presence, and they seem to take him in a slightly different direction. Like, obviously in the book he was also very skilled, but I feel like in the movie they kind of made him a much darker presence, if that's even possible, Does that make sense at all? I just felt like I was surprised, having read the book after seeing the movie, that they didn't kind of hit some of the same beats as the book did.
I think I get what you're saying. I mean, this version of Darcy is definitely, I'd say it's probably my least favorite of all the Darcys in the adaptations. I don't know. He was different.
Well.
And I get what you mean, how they establish him. All right, Brittany has a dissertation on this, so we're just going to let her rock it out. Go ahead, Brittany.
I have a lot of feelings about Fitzwilliam Darcy in general, but I will focus them in on just zombie Fitzwilliam Darcy. So the book Darcy I enjoyed mainly because it made him feel equal to Lizzie, because I always felt reading Pride and Prejudice like Lizzie and Darcy, they're the best couple in literature. Well, not the best couple in literature, but they're up there for me. And it's because they're so, like, I feel that Lizzie is such a stronger character than Darcy. And that's why I'm really just love Lizzie Bennet. But in this book, I feel like Lizzie is matched in not only her intelligence, but like physical strength. And I love that so much. I don't know why. But in the movie, I know we're supposed to be talking about the book, but the movie, I did not like Darcy at all. Like, not even a little bit. When the first opening scene was about Darcy and not Lizzie, I was like, well, I'm done. Like, I already wrote off Darcy from the first 5 minutes. I thought that he was too hot-headed and like cocky, and just that jacket annoyed me. But yeah, I didn't like the movie Darcy at, like, not even a little bit. Especially he was so glum, and then at the end he like smiled because he was excited to be with Lizzie, and I was like, ew, no, you're terrifying. Don't smile. Just be miserable. Please be miserable. Yeah, but I like zombie fighting Darcy in the book, not the movie.
Okay. It's very hard to distinguish. There's so many books and movies and adaptations to talk about with this one.
It's hard to like say that like you don't like Darcy, who is literally the same Darcy, only he's killing zombies. So it's like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, because I do like the character of Darcy. I love how dark he is. I love how loyal he
brooding.
Is and brooding. And he's he's a mystery. And you have to, unlike most of Jane Austen's male characters, like the women, you're inside their heads kind of in Austen's world, like,
right,
you know what they're thinking, you know what type of character they are, they are not afraid to speak their minds, but the men are a mystery and you have to unpack them over the course of the novels. And that's what Darcy's like the best one, because you don't know why he's doing things, and you think you do, you think he's just arrogant and he's in this position of wealth and whatever, like that's just who he is. But then you like find out more and more and more, and like how he's defending people, and he's willing to go and try to stop a wedding, and he's willing to just pay people off, and he's, you know, he's like, he just wants everyone to be happy and satisfied and content and not get in over their heads, but also kill zombies in this case. So like the character is the same, but I think that Lizzie changed enough to where I was fine with this Darcy as well.
Okay. Well, that's good. Very good. Very good. All right. So, did you have something more to say on Lady Catherine, Brittany? Or Karen?
No, one of you? I'm okay.
I liked her eye patch.
Yeah.
Yes, it was very fetching. All right. So let's just check in. So is there a prequel or a sequel to this novel in Graham Smith's world?
There's a prequel.
Both. But
there's a prequel?
Yes. There is a prequel titled Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, Dawn of the Dreadfuls. And then there's a sequel called Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, Dreadfully Ever After. However, they were both written by Steve Hawkinsmith, not by Seth Graham Smith. So,
okay, that's weird.
That changes things for me. Well, apparently he didn't write the prequel because he was writing Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So then Steve Hawkinsmith wrote the prequel, and I assume the sequel, just because he had written the prequel, and maybe, mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe Seth Graham Smith didn't have enough time or anything. But initially I was very interested in reading them, but now that I've learned that it's not by the same author, and obviously it's not going to be the same kind of book because they're not keeping a whole chunk of the story and then, like, just adding different things, different elements to it, it's going to be, I assume, completely original on both ends. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that would be hard for me, I'm not going to lie, because half the reason I would even be interested in reading this book is because it's Pride and Prejudice. And I'm curious, you know, I was curious to see how they infuse the zombie aspects into it. So for me, that's what led me to read this book. I don't want to read someone trying to, you know, recreate Austin from scratch and kind of create this story that isn't really already in existence. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what I would read? I would read a screenplay of a prequel to Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, the movie, and a sequel screenplay to Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, the movie.
Yeah.
Because I think that world is so interesting.
Absolutely, but I wouldn't want a novel of it.
Yeah, no. And especially, like, if it's going just based off of this, which is, in my opinion, mostly Austin. Mm-hmm. And, like, so it's, like, I would say it's, like, 70-30. So, like, 70% Austin, 30% Graham Smith. Whereas I think that the movie geared more towards, like, 60-40.
Yeah.
40% being Austin, 60% being this new world.
Right, but it also makes Austin more relatable in a way, too. So it works.
Yeah.
I would be interested in the prequel just because it says that it explores how Lizzie became a seasoned zombie hunter and dealt with her early martial arts training, which I think is really interesting. But it also says it's about her unfortunate early romantic experiences, which, like, no, Darcy, don't care kind of thing. So,
yeah, that's weird.
Mm.
And also, Lizzie is sort of just like, no, thank you to men. So I don't need that written in there.
I know, like,
she's never been interested in men up until.
Right. It's not like some girls, like her little sister, it's all she ever thinks and talks about. Boys, boys, boys. Lizzie was never really like that. That's not the vibe you get from Lizzie or from Jane, for that matter.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, do you know who I absolutely loved in the movie that she's always, like, the butt of the joke and everything?
Mary.
She was so good in the movie.
Yeah, she was pretty good.
Yes, Mary. You go, girl. Someone's closing the piano and you're not crying at the end of a ball. It's all good, girl. Oh,
poor Mary.
Right.
She is always the butt of the joke, too, man. That girl can't catch a break. All right, so let's talk about it. Would you see a sequel if there was one to the film? Like, if they made a second film?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally would. With the way it ended, I would in a heartbeat. Yeah. Sadly, it did not do well.
I know. What is up with that? I don't know. Okay, look. I realize that it's a weird concept, and I realize that zombies are not for everybody, but the movie was genuinely good, and this is not just me saying this. Like, I value your guys' opinions, because they tend to be much better than mine, and you liked it.
Yeah, I actually really liked it. I didn't think I was even going to come close to liking it, and I was actually pretty surprised at how much I liked it.
I just wish people went and saw the movie and gave it a chance, because it could have been one of those really weird, like, cult classics, just kind of a hit sort of thing, and I would love to see a sequel to the movie, given how it ended, but I just don't see it happening at this point.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm trying to see. Yeah, it only had 43% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, has 45% positive reviews on Metacritic.
Also, I just looked up Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter for comparison's sake. And that got 35%. So I don't think these adaptations are going really well.
No, I don't know. Like, I don't think people get it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think in some cases, like, people miss, like, what it's really about. I don't know. I thought it was incredibly well done, actually. Given. Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening. Sorry.
And the production budget was 28 million and they only made 10.7, so
Dude, how do you only make 10.7? That hurts.
I know.
They
Kung Fu
only
Panda
made
3 made
14
12.5.
worldwide.
Yeah, 14 worldwide.
Ouch, that hurts.
I mean, I know that the concept is so weird, but even those trailers, like having no interest in Pride and Prejudice before this, having, a fair interest in zombies and not really knowing anything about the story, like those trailers killed it. They did a really good job of pitching the movie and making it look like serious, not like one of those ridiculous zombie movies, but like an actual zombie movie that just also happened to be Pride and Prejudice. And I just don't
Yeah, they
understand
really did.
why more people weren't into it.
I don't know. Maybe because they were all waiting for Deadpool to come out the following weekend.
I mean, that's fair.
Deadpool has made 241 million.
Not surprised.
No, it's pretty badass.
Shout
Sorry.
out to Hero Hype, who did a whole Deadpool special that I was on, FYI. Go check that out because it
Shout
was
out or plug?
really fun.
Yeah, let's be honest here.
Shameless self-promotion?
Okay, I can go with that. I'm good with that, yeah. But I mean, it is Deadpool after all, so there's that. Anyway, so yeah, sadly, I don't think a sequel is in the works, which is unfortunate because I really enjoyed the film. So, you guys have any other thoughts on this lovely episode for Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies?
Yes, I have a recommendation for Karen's next venture, and here it is. You will read Pride and Prejudice, and then you will watch the BBC 6-hour version starring Colin Firth, and then you can watch the Keira Knightley version. That's my recommendation.
That seems fair. And then
That
we need to
seemed
get some,
less like a
like.
recommendation and more like a to-do list.
Yeah, let's go with that.
I mean, yeah. She was trying to put it nicely. She was
I
trying to
mean, I
make it,
didn't include the rest
like your
of the
idea.
roster of things that are coming after that, because then we got to dig into Emma, and it's.
Yeah, Emma needs to happen. The BBC, the latest BBC Emma, so good. And then you gotta get a Mansfield Park in there just
Gotta get a
because.
little bark in there, just to get it out of the way. Get the good one
Yeah.
and the awful, awful one.
God, the awful movie.
But
It's
it's
so
so good.
awful. Yeah, it's awful, but it's good at the same. Like it's hard to explain, but I really love Mansfield Park.
That's
And
very confusing.
then you'll understand once you see the film. Although, true facts, you'll probably love the film.
I love the
Ow.
film too, so.
I think you liked the film for that. I thought you hated it.
No, Mansfield Park?
Yeah, that's the one you made fun of last time.
No. Well, I probably made fun of it, but I like it.
Oh, I'm like, wait, no, you totally were lying, right? Okay. Anyway.
Yeah,
Okay,
no,
well.
that's with Johnny Lee Miller. Are you kidding me? I've watched it like 1,000 times.
Right, but I
It's
thought you thought it
awful.
was
It,
terrible.
no, it
Exactly.
is.
It's
It's awful.
awful.
It's so bad,
Exactly.
but it's so good.
Yeah. Well, it has Johnny Miller in it.
You
Of
guys
course
are
it's
not
good.
helping. It's so awful, but it's so good.
It's one of those movies that you just know is bad, but at the same time you can't help but watch and like not feel bad about it later.
So
Yeah. Like
basically, every single movie that I love.
This one
I
I
don't know
keep
about
going
every
back to
single.
for some reason, though. It's very short. It's not.
Yeah, it's a quick watch. It's not terrible.
And I fast forward parts now that I just don't care about.
Oh, really? You're like, hey, there's
Like
some
when
best
they're gonna
party
put on the
moments.
play, I'm like, eh.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of lame. But it's like prevalent in every like it's one of the things. Like it's prevalent in every adaptation of it.
Yeah.
It happens. It happens. All right, now that we're almost completely off target, although we are giving Karen a lovely to-do list.
Yeah, and I wanted to say that even though I'm kind of doing this whole Pride and Prejudice thing backwards, like I'm definitely way more interested in reading Pride and Prejudice now. To
Oh,
see the
thank
different,
goodness.
yeah, to see the differences, but also just because I did really like the characters and I'd love to actually read the original. And I'm still very interested in reading other Austen works, so you don't have to worry about that. I shall get to it eventually. But I have a question for you guys. Are you at all interested in reading other novels by Seth Graham Smith, like Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, or any of the other really weird ones that we looked up last time.
I barely got
Sensibility
through.
And Sea Monsters.
Yeah,
what?
That was the one I barely got through.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I wouldn't
if I could do it.
I read this 7 years ago, and I haven't picked it up since. So I skimmed through it before I went to go see the movie, and then I skimmed through it again before we were going to talk about it. So, no.
I've seen Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Does that count? I mean,
was it awful?
It was rough. It was rough.
See, this is
the man knows how to wheel an axe.
This is like my jam, but even I'm like, I don't know if anything could be as good as this one. Like, I really liked this.
I think that this one is like the pinnacle. Like, this is
right.
This is the one that sparked a thousand, like, launch, whatever it is. That
right, launched
a thousand ships. Yeah.
Yeah, that's hell of a try.
No, I knew exactly what it was from, but I was like, it's not face, but it was.
Yeah, I see what you're going. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think they would be my thing. I have so many other things that I really should be reading that I don't know if I would go back and just pick one of these up for fun, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, yeah, because I've got some things that I really should get to reading. But then Kristen keeps giving me these books that I can't stop reading. So she's totally derailed me. It's not good.
Yeah, she's kind of awful in that way.
If you should read Austin, though, I'm not going to tell you what my favorite Austin book is, even though
you already did.
I've said it 100 times, but I want you to read that one and let me know your opinion on it, because no one else in the world likes it. I've read it, but it's bad. I'm like, it's not bad. It's so good.
Do you remember which one it was, Karen?
Somebody here really likes Mansfield Park.
That's me.
Okay. Yours is the one with the funny name that I can't think of.
Northanger Abbey?
Yes.
Yep, that's it. That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
No one likes it.
Oh, poor Northanger Abbey. We have a very special episode because we have a guest author popping on to Book Hype. And Karen, would you like to announce who it is?
Yes, we are inviting on none other than Michael Buckley, who wrote Undertow and Raging Sea, which just came out this month. And we're going to do a little Q&A with him. We're going to discuss some sci-fi fantasy elements and maybe play a game or two. And it's going to be a really fun episode. He's a really funny, smart, cool guy. Met him at BEA, and he's just a lot of fun. So I think it's going to be a great episode.
Yay!
And if you guys have any questions for Michael Buckley, you can tweet them at BookHype, and we'll try to get them answered. So if there's anything you want to know about Undertow or Raging Sea or anything else he's written, because he's also written some stories in, like, I think it's the Guys Read series, and it's, like, with R.L. Stine and all those people. He's definitely written short stories for that sort of thing, too. So he's got some pretty cool work out there. So if there are any questions for Michael Buckley, please send them or tweet at us for @BookHype, and we will see if we can get them answered for you. All right. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.